Welcome to The Word in 10, a podcast from Dwell Community Church. My name is Chris Risley, and I have a four-part series out of the beginning of the book of 1 Peter. I'd like to read just the first couple of verses. Peter writes, "Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who reside as aliens, scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, who are chosen according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, by the sanctifying work of the Spirit, to obey Jesus Christ and be sprinkled with his blood. May grace and peace be yours in the fullest measure." You know, all letters in the first century started with similar greetings, just as today you would start a letter or an email with "Dear so-and-so" or "Greetings." What the New Testament authors did was they took the standard openings and they infused them with deep theological significance. Today, we have more written material than we know what to do with, but back then, things like parchment were precious, so every word mattered. Let's unpack what Peter says in these couple of verses. In fact, there's so much here that it will take a couple of weeks to unpack it all. He starts introducing himself, Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ. This is the Peter who was a close friend of Jesus during his earthly ministry. His life was transformed by Jesus, so he spent the rest of his life serving and trying to help other people understand the incredible riches that were theirs when they turned to Christ. Now, you might read some scholars who argue that Peter never could have written this letter. Why? Because this letter was relatively sophisticated Greek, and as far as they were concerned, Peter was just a backwater fisherman from Galilee who spoke Aramaic. Very educated people are essentially saying, yep, there's no way a blue-collar worker could write something this erudite. And they say they have proof. If you turn to Acts 4, when Peter and his fellow apostle John are standing before the Jewish High Council and winning the debate with these Jewish leaders, the council called both Peter and John uneducated and untrained. The Greek word for uneducated is agrammatos, which means they had not received formal training in rhetoric. The Greek word for untrained is idiote, and I don't think I need to translate that one for you. And so that was their enemy's assessment of these men, which is why some scholars today argue that Peter couldn't have written this letter. But let's consider a couple of factors. One is that Peter was a fisherman, but that meant he had a business, and he would have needed to speak multiple languages in a place in the world where people were speaking various languages. In fact, Americans today are the strange ones in world history in that most of us speak only one language. Most people in the world and in world history speak more than one. Current estimates are that 43% of the world population are bilingual, which doesn't mean they speak one language and a little bit of a second one. For example, if I were to travel to Central or South America, my ability to say "¿Dónde está el baño?" is not bilingual. No, it means they're fluent in two languages. Now, that's not majority, 43%. Well, that's because there's another 17% of the world population are multilingual, fluent in more than two languages. So that's 60% of the world today. And if that's true today, why not for in Peter's day? There's also the fact that at the end of the letter, in chapter 5, verse 12, Peter writes, "Through Silvanus, our faithful brother, I have written to you briefly." He had a co-author. This Silvanus is another name for Silas, one of Paul's co-missionaries, and perhaps of Greek education, so he could have helped with writing style. But finally, you know, education and background have nothing to do with intelligence or effectiveness. Peter was a godly man devoted to Christ, and this is the type of person God wants to use. I know Christians who would love to gain more education. Education is a wonderful blessing. I know Christians in places like Cambodia or India who learn to read once they become Christians as adults so that they can read their Bibles. I'm not against education, but I also do not believe that education is what makes a person effective for God. Sitting here in Columbus, amidst one of the largest student populations in the country, we are surrounded by educated people who, as God said in Jonah, don't know their right hand from their left. I personally come from a highly educated family. I was at OSU getting a college degree, and before I knew Christ, I failed out of school because I couldn't make my life work. I was in a terrible relationship. I was drinking all the time. I was super depressed. Christ came and found me and, praise God, turned my life around. And so whoever is listening, if you have a PhD or if you've dropped out of school in third grade, the most important thing about you is whether or not you are devoted to Christ. And if you are, God wants to use you the same way that he used Peter. And so then that's the author. The background, he says, to those who reside as aliens scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia. These are areas in modern day central and northern Turkey, which means this was a circular letter, not written to any one specific city, like Paul's letter to the Philippians, for example. And one cool note is that the New Testament doesn't record how the gospel reached these areas, but that's how the gospel works. It just naturally wants to go out. Peter might have felt a special responsibility for this area because some of the people who started churches here might have come to Christ as a result of his preaching. In Acts 2, when Peter stands up in Jerusalem on the day of Pentecost, when about 3,000 people put their faith in Christ, the crowd was comparing notes as to why, with all of their different languages, they could understand Peter's Aramaic sermon. They said they were from, among other areas, Cappadocia, Pontus, and Asia. Obviously, Peter's Pentecost sermon was miraculous, but it was still just one sermon. You never know what kind of impact your work will have once the Holy Spirit gets a hold of it. And then finally, in this introduction, he calls them aliens. When we hear the word alien, we think extraterrestrial, as in take me to your leader kind of thing. But this word had more of a connotation of a sojourner or a pilgrimer or a backpacker. Maybe some of you have done the backpacking trip. I never have, at least not with the kind where you carry your sleeping bag and cooking gear with you. But I've done a lot of camping trips. Summer 2020, a small crew of us headed out to Colorado to camp for almost 2 weeks. It was amazing going out there just as things were opening up after the COVID shutdown. We did some amazing hikes in Rocky Mountain National Park. I love camping. But let's be real. Camping means sleeping in tents. We endured two freak hailstorms. The first one flooded our friend's tent. The second one flooded ours. And it was a hailstorm, so they got flooded with ice water. None of the campgrounds had public showers. So we planned ahead to find the pay showers close to each campground. Except it turned out when we got there, they were all closed for COVID. So the few times those 2 weeks that I washed my hair, it was under a public spigot. There were some incredibly cold nights where I had to bundle all the way up, including wearing a winter hat to bed to be able to sleep. We enjoyed some warmer nights at the end, but it turns out those were because of wildfires that were about 10 miles away that were creating some cloud cover to keep the heat in. So even that was kind of tainted. Well, why do I bring all this up? Because as wonderful as that trip to Colorado was, at no point did I feel like my tent was my home. But I knew that I was not going to stay long, so the inconveniences and the deprivations felt endurable because a time was coming very soon when I was heading home. Your life here on earth as a Christian, this is not your home. There are some great things about this life, and there are some really hard things, some incredibly uncomfortable things, but this is not your home. You do not belong here. Do you ever feel like you don't quite fit in? Well, you don't. This world is not the way it's supposed to be. So every loss, every sickness, every bit of suffering is not the way that it's supposed to be. Knowing that doesn't always lessen the pain, but it can put the pain into context, and it gives us the promise that it will not always be like this. Someday, very soon, each of us will be going home. Peter was looking forward to going home, where he would be reunited with Jesus and with a lot of other friends who had preceded him. Death is only sad for those of us who are left behind. You are a pilgrim. You are an alien. There's no need to make this life as comfortable as possible. You can't be on an adventure or a journey and be as comfortable as possible. Comfort is for couch potatoes. You are designed for adventure. You are designed to be used by God. Like Peter, you and I are an unlikely choice, not that impressive to the world's eyes. So what are you going to do? Are you going to accept what the world says about you? Are you going to fit in here and try to be comfortable? Or are you going to, like Peter, allow your life to be transformed by the grace of God? Are you going to decide that comfort is not your top priority? Are you going to ask God how he wants to use you? Trust me, it won't be easy, but when you get to heaven, you won't regret it. I encourage you to ask God today, what do you want of me? He has his answer ready for you. Thanks for listening. For more resources like this, visit dwellcc.org.